Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, how are you?
Thank you.
Yes, we have a guest, very special guest. Thank you for listening to the 55th episode Global Echo Talk Show on 14th November 2016. We are going to have a Nigerian nonprofit founder and director, Dr. Bas Ide, who is specializing in health and environment. I'm the host, Eko Nagashima. Dr. Ide Bartholomew, is that how you pronounce Bartholomew?
Yeah, okay.
The founder of Emerging Health and Environment Initiative, a non-profit organization based on Abuja, Nigeria. He holds a doctoral degree in medical biochemistry, immunology, and consults on health and environmental issues. Apart from being a global scientist, he has devoted his time in assisting poor communities without access to health facilities, drinking water, and are environmentally challenged. He has obtained several grants and awards. As a university lecturer, Dr. Ide has served as external examiner and supervised over 50 university students on various HIV research topics. He has established extensively reputable academic journals. Dr. Ide, you have been working with us since you contacted us through the Africa-Japan Forum in Tokyo. And after you paid a visit to Japan, so we have many questions to you. And in case anybody who is listening to this show wants to ask some questions or you want to say hello or anything, you can call this number, 646-564-9584. This is a U.S. number. Okay? Anyway,
okay.
Welcome, Dr. Bas Ide. How are you today?
Yeah, I'm okay. And I'm happy to be on the radio program today. And then wish our listeners, I expect your questions and contribution to our listeners as they actually listening to this show, this very particular day. Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, thank you. We welcome you very much. We are very happy to have you. Now, first question, will you tell us about yourself?
Okay, I think you really said a lot, you know, about myself. Important thing I wish to know about myself, I wish everybody to know about me is the commitment to community development programs, and I'm most especially trying to actually design and implement programs and bring out new solutions using technology and a simple method to improve the lives of the rural people and then the urban poor. So I think I would love to be known or seen in that light. Thank you.
Okay. Could you tell us about your organization, Emerging Health and Environmental Initiative?
Imagine health and environmental, Imagine Health and Environment Initiative is a non-governmental organization that is based in Nigeria. And the objective or the mission of this organization is to provide a sustainable low-cost solution to emerging health and environment challenges in Africa through operational excellence and then both IDN's commitment to women health programs and empowerment initiatives. So by this, we actually try to see the problems that is inherent in the communities, especially in the rural communities and then in the urban poor, the slums, people who do not have access to most of the facilities that the government put in place or that they should have to enhance their health status and then the environment. So what we'll do is that we'll actually identify these problems as a reality, and we go to design solutions that will actually help to solve these problems and make life better for these people. So by so doing also, we do not stop at that. We'll go a step forward to empower these people, not only making health facilities available to them, making drainages or drinkable water available to these people, but we'll make a step ahead by empowering them so that they can actually have a source, a means of a livelihood. So that relates to the aspect of our empowerment programs. So we provide community services that is tailored to meet the specific and ever-changing health risk exposures facing the region. So as you can see, maybe some years ago, 10 years ago, the kind of situation that we face in Nigeria and some other similar countries are different from what we have now. So we try to agree and see the changes that have occurred in the problems facing health and environment in the rural and urban slums in the country. So we put these things together and then try to solicit for a partnership and funding to actually help reduce the sufferings of these people. So what may I ask, what is generally our vision? Our vision is making the world poor have access to healthy living through a sustainable both ideas. We love both ideas. We admire both ideas. And we generate ideas that will actually make the world poor, the Nigerian poor, have access to healthy living and good environment. So with a commitment to continue building strong community partnership through service and trusted integrity, we do not just leave the community people like that. We build them into partnership, not just within the country, but with outside, so that they will see the essence of having integrity and then having a good living. So this is just the core point of this organization. And then PREACH has been implementing this since 2008, and then was officially registered in January 2012. And since then, the organization has actually worked in line with this mission and vision.
Okay. Recently, you have sent us lots of photos, and actually it's posted on this website where audience can see. Have you seen it on your website? You haven't seen
yet.
Okay. That photos, we can see the hospitals, and it's kind of like it's there. It looks like it has a lot of fixing needs to be done. And nobody was there, and I don't know where it is. Maybe you can explain how you go about this kind of facilities.
Okay. Yeah. Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, I'm listening.
Yeah. Can I Can you go through over that again?
Okay, I'm just saying that how do you go about those facilities that is so empty and needs to be done, a lot of fixings to do, the hospital? You have sent us the hospital photos.
Okay. If you go to our website, yeah, you'll see a lot of things. You see the environment. You see people hanging up around the streets begging. You see people living in slums. You see villagers that do not have access to roads, to toilet facilities, to potable water, drinking water. You see also community hospitals that actually do not have a single facility.
Where is it located?
It's located in the southeastern part of the country, in Imo State, precisely in Kedu.
Okay.
In Kedu local government of Imo State.
Okay.
Now I'm talking of the hospital.
I see. Yes. Okay.
Yeah.
So,
I'm talking about the hospital.
Yes.
Yeah.
You want to talk about more about your the project in Imo State?
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, or can we go to ask you another question?
Okay.
Now you have helped us on the survey research in the Ikpe-Ukom village in Nigeria. In Akwa Ibom State, with representatives on the ground, and what is your conclusion to the result?
Actually, we had a survey to assess the availability of drinkable water in some of the communities in Akwa Ibom State and also in Imo State. And from the results of the survey, from the result of the survey, it was very clear, it was very evident that these communities, a greater percentage of these communities, do not have access to drinkable water. Most of the families are large in number. More than 57% of the families are over 6 in number. And not just that these communities do not have access to drinking water, they also have certain elements that is attached to this, because once, if you do not have access to potable drinking water, you are prone to have certain waterborne diseases. And
right.
We will find out from the survey that there is an association between the lack of drinkable water to these rural communities to the diseases that are inherent in their environment. So, furthermore, most people in these communities, you know, can walk or trek over 30 minutes or an hour in the bid to get just a water to drink. Equally, some of the communities, you know, have streams and rivers which have over time for hundreds of years have served as a source of water. But environmental programs by private individuals or by the government have actually defaced this water that has served for several years as a source of drinkable water to these people. In other words, I'm saying that those water, the stream and the rivers are polluted, which make them unfit for these communities to drink from. Several years back, 100, 200 years back, their forefathers have been drinking from those streams. But now, certain activities have polluted these rivers, and as well, it actually leads to certain diseases that you find in those communities. So we actually noticed that these communities are really, really suffering. These communities do not have one of the basic essence of life, which is water, drinkable water.
Oh, glory. Okay. Thank you for that good explanation. So would you tell us, what do you find the most difficult part of the project?
In everything we do, especially when you try to find a solution to the problem that is being neglected, there is water everywhere, and there's no water to drink. That is the situation. So you find out that one of the problems or issues that we encountered during this survey is accessibility to these communities. Most of these communities are not accessible. So maybe let me say community A, which is about 100 kilometers or 150 kilometers from the nearest town that is known with good roads or fairly good roads, you find out that it will take you more than 5 hours to travel on a 100-kilometer road. So access to the road, access to these villages is really terrible. It's a challenge. If you are to go and find out what is happening in these places, by the time you get there, you may be exhausted and the whole day will be off. And moving from one family to another in order to find out the solutions, in order to find out the problems and how this will be solved, we encountered a lot of the emotions attached to that, because these people have waited for a long time to see if they will have access to this one thing that is basic in human life. So as such, we find it challenging, you know, the outpour of the community members towards this issue. Also, we encounter that it's not easy to get somebody to fill the questionnaire or to answer your questions. I'm talking about the literate level of the villagers. It's very, very low. So most times you have to explain and then actually to try to pull down what they say, because most of the villagers could not write. So which makes the literate level of the community to be very, very low. And they find it difficult to explicitly, you know, present their situation, the challenges that they are facing in the village. So we have to do more job in order to find out the explicit problems that actually is inherent in the community and the possible causes to that. So another thing is that due to the poverty also that coexists with the low literate level of the villagers, you find out that you hardly see any of them at home when they should be at home, either relaxing or trying to have one form of social activity or staying with family. So people go out in the morning and toil and labor till night. And when we move from one family to another, from one village to another, to actually get the statistics, you don't find most of them. So we go to the marketplaces, you know, to get them. We'll go to the farms to get them. So this is a challenge. And then this is as a result of the poverty level. And one should start, these people toil from morning to night, you know, on hard labor. And then one should ask, how much do they get at the end of the day? Very mega, barely enough to take 2 square meals a day. So we actually encountered such, and then we saw it firsthand, and then I will encourage anyone, you know, that you should find time, you know, you might actually decide to spend your vacation to in these regions, in these local communities, in order to see for yourself firsthand what is actually going on. Yeah, thank you.
Yes. Dr. Ibe, I don't know if you know that in this village, the visitors are increasing every year, according to what the government said. And I was shocked to hear that, because all I hear is so many negative things like illiteracy and poverty and no drinking water and all that. And yet, the visitors are increasing. What do you see? What kind of things is happening there?
Yeah, sorry if I got what you said. You said that what is increasing?
Visitors to the village.
Yeah.
People who are visiting from outside are increasing in that village. You didn't know that.
Okay, thanks. Visitors from outside.
Yes.
To the village.
Yes.
It's increasing.
Yes.
Well, the built up of the state is such that, or the developmental pattern is polarized. For instance, you see the state capital might have all the facilities or some of the basic facilities and some attraction for people. But when you move away from the state capital, when you move away from the state capital, about 100 or 150 kilometers, you know, some villages are up to 200, 300 kilometers from the city. So if you move out of the city to big villages, it's a different thing. So the visitors that are actually coming to stay in the city, there are some basic facilities, you know, and then some sites for them to see. But these other people, you know, that are in the suburbs and in the interior places that do not have access to these basic basic essence of the life, because water is life, do not have such inflow of visitors. So that is why I'm advocating that when people come to this day, or come to Akwibom, or even don't just restrict yourself within the city or the suburb. So visitors should extend to visit these locations and to experience this.
Okay, so what is the reason that they are visiting?
Sorry?
What is the reason why the people are visiting this village?
Or is it the reason why we did the survey, or why visitors?
Why they want to come to the village. The visitors are coming, visitors.
Yes, yeah.
Okay.
Sorry, can I get the question again?
I'm saying that why the visitors are increasing. If you don't know, that's fine. We can go on to the next questions, because we don't have much time. Sorry.
My turn. Okay.
Okay, sorry. Okay. And there have been many obstacles in raising funds for Nigeria, especially the strong prejudice against Nigerians by the international community. We are doing our best to install a good image of Nigeria. How do you think we can do better? And what do you think about this?
Okay, you are asking about the image of Nigeria.
Yes.
Relating to corrupt practices.
Yes.
Yeah. Actually, you know, if you go by the rating of Transparency International, you know, the image of Nigeria is actually better. You know, talking about trust and delivery of services. You know, for instance, if I'm giving funding, you know, to put some facilities in a community, and then the funders from the information, you know, actually find out that such facilities are not being put in place, and this actually sets the image of the country bizarre and then obscure image. And then I think the first step already has been taken, you know, because the current government focuses on the number one point of the current government is to tackle corruption and restore the image, the good image of Nigeria. Yet there might be corrupt politicians, there might be corrupt civil servants, there might be corrupt individuals, but as well, there are very good and honest Nigerians that are doing what is worthwhile to see that their services are delivered to the people. So the fourth, as I mentioned, is that the current government has it as one of its paramount agenda, you know, to tackle the issue of corruption. And then I would say, advocate that international organizations and then funders should actually, you know, support such a program, you know, that that is targeted, you know, towards identifying those that have been engaged in corrupt practices, one, and then secondly, taking them to the law courts, and then third, seeing that they are prosecuted. And then personally, one of the solutions that I may see or the way forward is that the citizens themselves, you know, try to hide, because since the system, you know, looks corrupt, and then one might be a lonely voice in the wilderness, you know, trying to shout against corruption, but such individuals should not give up, and then I encourage the international community to assist such groups or such individuals that will in turn encourage others to report any form of corruption by any individual, you know, whether in the government sector or in the private sector, to appropriate agency and to follow it up to see that such is prosecuted and made public and broadcasted. So such issues can be hosted as a radio show so that people can see and follow.
Okay.
And follow the management of such corrupt cases.
Okay. Dr. Ibeh, because you have been working very hard with us, and I really like to encourage you, and I want you to listen to the song that I have made 2 years ago.
Okay.
This radio show started, it's been already 2 years, and in the beginning I used to play this music. I made this. So do you mind if I play it for you now?
All right, sure. Yeah, that would be good.
Okay, hold on a second.
Anyone wants to rap with us? Want to know how to make positive impact on climate change and poverty in the world? First things first, let's start from the dirtiest mess and employ the poor people to clean up the mess. Good idea? Let me tell you, we are international NGO located in Japan and US. Just last month, Japanese government agreed that they would send cleaning tools to Niger Delta, Nigeria. So now what? We are looking for trainers and donors in US and elsewhere. Yes, we have an office in New York. We just got an approval from the New York Ministry of Education. We are set to go and look for ones to rap with us. We are cultivating the ground for cleaning up the earth. Are there any other residents on earth here to join our communal activities?
Thank you.
Oh, all right. That was really, really nice. In fact, I slept off, actually. That was really good.
Okay. I'll send you the copy. So whenever you want to hear, then you can listen to it. Okay. So it's almost time to end the show. And thank you for joining us, Dr. Ibe. We had such a wonderful time. We strive for humanity, and we are here to back you up any way we can. Thank you for all your efforts to help us understand your views and your effort to help the poor people. Now, that is so commendable. It is great to hear someone is fighting all odds to help the Nigeria poor community. So, those who listen to this show until the end, let us extend our gratitude to you. Stay tuned. Thank you, Dr. Bay. Bye, everybody.
All right. Thank you, Redeko. You are doing a very wonderful job to humanity, not just to Nigerians, but to humanity. And then,
okay. So, see you then. Bye.
All right. Thank you. Bye. Thank you.